In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who opened the way as the temple split when he had finished his work on the cross for all of us to directly access God. Amen. So as you know, I haven't been around for a while, and I've had both my knees replaced. I think I'm taller. No? Oh, man. You know, gravity has claimed another victim. I don't know. At any rate, it's good to be here with you today. I promised Ron that I wouldn't speak of the Green Bay Packers, so I won't. So moving along. Some people like that this morning. Others not so much. Just saying. Okay. We're here to do some serious business, and that is to talk about how we are better together in worship. Now, I don't know about you, but over the years, I've heard this phrase or this sentence spoken to me many times. Well, Pastor, you know, I think I can worship God better alone out in the woods somewhere or in nature. You ever hear that? Yeah. Some people say, you know, I just feel closer to God. And okay, I get that. It's probably true. I love nature as much as anybody loves nature. And I do believe there is a sense in which we are connected to God. It's one of the ways God reveals to us himself to us in nature. But as we look at doing worship together, that's not the way God tells us to worship. He tells us to gather together. And he says, don't do worship all the time alone. And he gives us some clear scripture examples in both the Old and in the New Testament. And as we heard in the confession today, in the Old Testament, the access to God was very limited, although the people of God worshiped and sacrificed. But both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament churches, we are called to worship together. Now, Sue and I, my wife, have had a number of surgeries over the last couple of years. And I never realized this in all my years actively as a pastor. I visited people who were shut in, and it was so hard for them because they always said, I wish I could be in worship. And I didn't quite understand the full impact of that until it happened to me. And between our surgeries and long recoveries and rehabs, it's been difficult to get to worship. And you know what? I just wished every single week that I could be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because there is a power and there is a strength in worshiping together. Pastor Ron, over the last few weeks, has reminded us that we do not live in isolation from one another. We are better off when we do things together as the body of Christ. And we clearly see this right away in the scripture. As God creates the world and all that exists, the heavens and the earth, and then he creates Adam. And he looks at Adam and he says, it's not good that the man be alone. And so he creates Eve. And Adam and Eve become the first worshiping community with God. And we read of their worship in Scripture that they walk and they talk with God in the garden. And there is this dialogue that is going on with them, when God speaking and they responding. We can only imagine what those words were, what those times were, what that community, that communion was like in the body of Christ, that small body of Christ. Today we're going to talk about worship that is not done alone, worship that is empowering, and worship that bears fruit. Worshiping, as we said, is not done alone. We do it together. We can worship sometimes alone, let's say if we do our personal devotions, and I hope you're doing them. We read the Word of God every day at home. We do our daily prayers, or we speak our daily prayers to God, and he listens and answers and all of that. But worship, corporate worship, weekly worship is designed by God to be done together and not done alone. The world today is caught up in individualism. I think you'd probably agree with me with that. And I guess in some ways it's great to be an individual. But the New Testament church is called the ecclesia, those who are called out to be gathered into a corporate body, those who have different kinds of abilities, different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us to be united. Some of us are arms, some of us are legs, some of us are mouths, some of us are ears or whatever. But we're all called to be together. And we're told in the scripture in 1 Corinthians that if one member suffers, there goes my shillelagh. We'll leave it there for now. We're told in scripture, if one member suffer, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So collectively, we are the body of Christ with different gifts. We are called out. There is one who did life alone at two important junctures for you and me, and his name is Jesus. And I want you to think about this. Jesus did two important things to give us some special gifts, the gift of life and forgiveness. First of all, he did life perfectly. He was perfect. He never sinned. Anybody here say that? I can't. Jesus never sinned. And we see at the very beginning of his ministry, he is driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he is immediately tempted by the devil. And he did not succumb to any of those temptations. And in fact, he came back at the devil quoting the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says. Get out of here. He kept the law perfectly. The other thing that our Lord Jesus did was he paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. He suffered and death. He died alone. Father, why have you forsaken me? Alone. We have never been alone. God promises, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He promises, I am going to be with you to the end. That's who our God is. But in order for you and I to have the life-giving gifts of forgiveness and salvation, Jesus did those two things perfectly and alone because he loves us with an everlasting love. Worship is also not something that we do to be entertained. It is participation. You know, there are some circles in Christianity that are kind of venues of entertainment. I've heard people say, wow, that music was really great, and I hope it is, and I love the music that we have here, because that's part of our worship, to be sure. Or I love that pastor. He just preaches wonderful sermons like Pastor Ron. He said he can go on for an hour and I can just keep listening to him. And that's and I can, by the way, Pastor Ron, by the way. And any points I can get, okay, at this point, okay? But it is an entertainment. It's not a show that you come, you sit in the pew. You're a part of it. This is the rhythm of worship. God speaks to us and then we respond. We respond in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. And he speaks his word to us as he has this morning. He speaks to us in the word sung, the word prayed, the word spoken, the word read. He's speaking the word to you now. And he fills you with a rich meal. And then we come again and we receive and eat at the Lord's table, the very body and blood of Jesus, a rich meal in which we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. And then we respond again, and we sing, and we praise. And whether you are in contemporary worship as we are now or in traditional worship, this is how we worship. There is a rhythm to our worship, and you are a part of it. Now, I wonder how many of us, and Pastor Ron spoke of this last week when he talked about prayer, how many of us during the general prayer of the church, that's the prayer that happens after the sermon and the offerings are collected, how many of you find yourself letting your mind wander? I do. But I'm going to tell you something. Tune in, because it is the collective prayer of our people. We are praying, as Pastor Ron said last week, as one. We are praying as one. And when those people are mentioned who need our intercessory prayer, we are praying as one. Think about them. Tune in. Because this is not doing worship alone. This is participating in the act of worship, even though your lips might not be moving. We are one body in Christ. Yesterday was a very special day. Well, wait a minute. Before we go on, I want to read a scripture here from Revelation, because it's one of my favorites, and I want to say something about it before I finish the thought I just started. Then I heard, and this is from Revelation, it is a picture of worship in heaven. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them. Now, think about that. Every creature singing to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Now, I want you to think about that picture. It is the picture of worship in heaven, but it also includes heaven and earth. Did you get that? And every creature worshiping God. You see, when we hear the Word of God, we are hearing it together as a body. Not only this church, but the whole church and the church in heaven and on earth. When we receive the Lord's Supper, we are receiving the very body and blood of Christ along with the whole church and with the church in heaven. And that's very comforting to me. And this is why. Because as I receive the Lord's Supper today, I am communing with my two children, Noel and Seth, who are in heaven, and with my sister, Melody, who's in heaven, with my parents, and my in-laws, and all the people I have known over the years. We are joining together in worship as John pictures for us all of heaven and earth. And in the traditional services, we sing, "This is the feast," with these very words. And then before communion, we sing the Sanctus, "Holy, holy, holy," with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Wow, that's pretty spectacular. Now, I want to talk about what happened yesterday. Do you know what yesterday was? Yeah, the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. That's one of the things that happened. Anybody know the other thing that happened? Pastor Ron, you're not allowed to talk. Buzz Aldrin celebrated communion on the moon. Yeah, that didn't get mentioned a whole lot. Maybe we heard it in a few reports, but that didn't get mentioned a whole lot. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about that. Neil Armstrong was not a Christian. He was a deist. But he was very respectful during this time. And what happened was Buzz Aldrin, a Christian, asked his pastor about this. Do you think it'd be possible for me to take communion on the moon? And this is what he said. "I wondered if it might be possible to take communion on the moon," he recalled a year later, "symbolizing the thought that God was revealing himself there too as man reached out into the universe. For there are many of us in the NASA program who do trust that what we are doing is part of God's eternal plan for man." And the story doesn't end there. The week before he was sent to the moon, before he went into isolation, he received Holy Communion. He is an elder, and he was an elder in his church, Presbyterian Church in Houston. And his pastor had been preaching a series of sermons on God works through elements. God works through bread and wine. God works through water. God works through that word that we hear and we process. God works through all of these things. And so he gave him a piece of the bread from that Holy Communion and the wine from that, a little bit of wine from that communion. With permission from NASA, they were shot into space with him, and he then took communion on the moon. But he didn't take it alone. At the very time he was taking communion on the moon, his congregation was celebrating communion on Earth. Is that not a powerful image about the church everywhere worshiping together? At the church of not only of Earth, not only of a heavenly body that God created 230,000 miles away, but the whole heavens and earth worshiping together. I just thought that was such a magnificent understanding of we worshiping not alone, but together. On that desolate heavenly body, the moon, he was worshiping with all the church now and forever. Worship, brothers and sisters, is empowering. It is just, as I said before, it's when you miss it, you don't understand how empowering being together here is and how strengthening there is. The Bible tells us, as Adam and Eve found out, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. They were two, but they were a worshiping community, a community that communed with God. And in Holy Communion, these two great events happen to us. There, as I said, there is a rhythm. We receive the Word of God that feeds and empowers and strengthens us. We receive Holy Communion that feeds, empowers, and strengthens us. And we are reminded that our God is ever present to help us, because where these two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And in this worship, through word and in sacrament, we are renewed, we are empowered, and we are refreshed to then not only understand how God loves us, but that we are going to be sent into a world that needs the gospel. The same gospel that binds us together, the same gospel that calls us together, so that the church may continue to grow and to thrive. And so worship, as we are empowered by it, then sends us in our going to bear fruit. The worshiping community in the days of Pentecost understood this, and I want to read for you what happened right after Pentecost and the first church in Jerusalem, the first worshiping Christian community. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In other words, they were studying the Word of God. They were receiving the Lord's Supper. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and we keep hearing this word over and over, together amongst that early church, they were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Now, this is the response. They worshiped and then they responded, praising God and having favor with all people. And here's the fruit that is born from worship. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. First, they worshiped together, and then they were empowered to work together, something that Pastor Ron is going to delve into in more depth next week. And the Lord added to their number every day. We are preparing to build a second facility. And in that facility, there's going to be a lot of ministry done. But one of the things that's going to happen there is worship. And I think it's absolutely spectacular that we will have two spaces to do what the community does together, to worship together. That as we go and tell what we have seen and heard and what has empowered us, many will be added to our fellowship. And we're going to need that space, aren't we? To fill it with people who are worshiping, people who come to praise God, to hear what He gives to us, forgiveness and life, and who are empowered to go and to tell, and in their going, share the gospel that binds us together. There is something that happens in worship at the very end that I think serves two purposes. It is the final blessing, the benediction, if you will. And then after that benediction, which we think ends the service, there is what we usually call a sending hymn. I'm going to propose to you today that we think of it in two ways. Not only is it a blessing on our worship and a sending hymn, but it is an invocation for our going and telling and showing. And that the closing hymn is the opening hymn for that worship. Yeah, you with me? You see what I'm saying? So that we are really not stopping worship, are we? We are going out there as the body of Christ together. Jesus sent them two by two, and we might not be two by two, but we are together because we are the body of Christ. And we have been gathered to be empowered and to go to work. This plot of ground and buildings that we call Risen Savior Lutheran Church is a worshiping community. It is the place where we are called by and bound together by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a place where the people of God come to be renewed, to be empowered, and to be sent. It is an oasis in the desert of sin and in the messiness of life, which we all go through. It is here that we find forgiveness. It is here that we find life and eternal life. It is here that we hear the great news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are gathered. We are gathered to worship together with the whole church on earth, the church in heaven, the church of all time. We are gathered to be empowered. We are gathered to go. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us continue now with our offering as we respond to the Word of God with our offerings and our gifts.